Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Folks, we are joined by Tan Trung, WWL multimedia journalist. He just released his latest podcast, obviously, on right there before Jazz Fest starts. He interviews Quint Davis. Jazz Fest has been in existence, I think, over 50 years now. And, I mean, the stories that could be told by this man is just absolutely mind-boggling. Tan, welcome to the show.
Neil, thanks for having me on. And you're right. I mean, where do I start with stories from Quint?
the whole cycle of his life has been like one golden horseshoe after the next, I guess. There's one way. I mean, you talk about the stars aligning in so many different ways, right?
Oh, you're absolutely right with that, Newell. And you know, for all of us, we love Jazz Fest, but I think that maybe being local, we don't have a fine appreciation of it or a better appreciation of what it takes to pull off an event like that and have it come back every year. But, you know, it really starts with Quint Davis and what he's done over the years. And as you mentioned, you know, he really, if you're talking about a charmed life as it comes to and when it pertains to doing what you love and what you've always loved. And that is his life, because as he explained to me, and you'll hear in the podcast, music has always been a part of his life. It's been central since he was a young boy. And he told me a story about when he was a young boy around maybe the age of 12, that he used to go to bed listening to a transistor radio, putting it underneath the pillow at night, listening to the radio. And here he is, fast forward to 2024, and he's the producer and the man behind the music that we all know as Jazz Fest. It's quite incredible. And again, you know, if there's a charmed life, he's living it.
No, absolutely. Interestingly, he says he can't sing and he doesn't play a musical instrument either. He did hesitatingly admit that he does sing in the car every now and again. But it sounded to me like it's so bad he can't even subject himself to it.
Well, only Quint will know those secrets. But yes, I think in private, I think he'll enjoy a moment or two when he busts out singing. But, you know, I found it odd, because most people would think that somebody who is so entrenched and so connected to the music community, not just here in New Orleans, but throughout the country, would have some type of musical leaning or quote unquote musical talent. But Quint admittedly says, nah, man, I don't have any of that. I don't sing in the shower. I don't do any of that. But, you know, for what he is and what he represents for the city of New Orleans is nothing short of remarkable, because here is a local boy who, and he said, you know, I don't know if I've grown up, because I asked him, I said, you know, what did you want to be when you grew up? And he's like, well, I don't know if I've grown up yet. But, you know, he is somebody who is a local product, who has made something that is really a local product, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, something that's internationally known and really world acclaimed. And again, you know, next week we're going to start that great ceremony of the fairgrounds opening, and that starting over again. And, you know, it's been over 50 years and we're still going strong. And really the core of the podcast focuses on Quint, his story, and what it's meant for him to go through this journey of coming from a New Orleans local boy to now this music producer, one of the largest music festivals in the world.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. I love the fact that you went back to the very beginning, you know, when the first festival took place at what was then called Beauregard Square, which is now Congo mm-hmm. Square, as to how this all started, how small it truly was, and what it was trying to mimic at that point in time, which was something different. And his partnership with George Ween Festival Productions, Inc., and how that migrated into something else, and then it ultimately migrated into a 501c3 organization that we know today. And what blew me away, a couple of things. 73 acts a day at Jazz Fest. I had no idea. I've been looking at that schedule of acts for years now. I guess never took the time to add them up. But I was blown away by that. You?
Oh, absolutely. Every year. And I think I like you, I look at the schedule and the lineups and the cubes, and I don't know where to go sometimes. But I think that's just for that particular day, because when you're going to Jazz Fest, you're just, you know, selfishly and maybe just more, you know, in the vacuum of what you're going to do, you're just looking at it's like, oh, I'm going to go to Congo's, to this stage here, to maybe the blues tent, and then to the gospel tent. But you're just looking at the blocks you want to go to or that certain hour, and then you go over to the headline stage. But, you know, you don't really look at the totality of, you know, both weekends, and then maybe now that they've added an extra Thursday, the amount of acts that you have, and that's all day. You're starting around 11 o'clock going basically right through 7:30. That is a tremendous chunk of time, and those are a lot of acts to put together. And as you mentioned, I mean, it's remarkable from where it started. And, you know, in 1970, when George Ween wanted to produce something like the Newport Jazz Festival, which is really what was the blueprint, but they really wanted to make something that was unique to New Orleans, and it was at the Municipal Auditorium. But the actual Jazz Fest itself was the act and the performances in the auditorium. Outside, they had a few food booths and a couple of stages that people were playing, you know, what we call roots music. And that was right there was sort of the inception of what Jazz Fest would be. You know, the real show, quote unquote, was supposedly inside the auditorium. The stuff that was happening, what Quint said, just out in the yard, was really what developed into Jazz Fest. So, you know, it's sometimes it's remarkable to see how something as large as Jazz Fest and as prestigious as Jazz Fest really started in the yard, as yeah. Quint described it. And, you know, it never amazes me how those kind of kernels really blossom into something much bigger.
One thing that I found interesting about the interview, he's pretty terse, right? He's kind of short and to the point, because you delving into about the acts, you know, y'all were coming off a conversation of how he got to book the Rolling Stones, which will be playing on my wife's birthday, May 2nd
of this
year, and we will be there. That was one of her birthday requests to see the Stones, so I'm looking forward to that. But about the quality of the bands and this and that, and I won't give it all away because it's very interesting conversation. And he summed it up this way. He goes, it's easier to get acts today, but they're damn more expensive. I mean, it was just, okay.
You're right. Look, and you know, what always fascinates me is the mechanics and sort of the engineering of how things work. And you can certainly apply that to Jazz Fest because, again, for me, I've been living here for many years, And I just see Jazz Fest as something that happens every year. And I don't think I have a good appreciation of what it takes. And I really wanted to get to know from Quint's point of view, like, how do you get these acts such as the Rolling Stones? And, you know, this year you got Chris Stapleton and Queen Latifah, all these people. It's like, do they call you? Do you call them? How does that work? And, you know, and you'll hear in the podcast that, you know, that process is sort of a push-pull. There's a lot of agencies that are trying to get their acts on there as well. But, you know, at the end of the day, he said, yeah, it's remarkable and really amazing how expensive these acts are to get to place them on the stage. And I said, well, what are we talking about? Hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars? And he just says, as you noted there very tersely, yes.
All of the above.
All of the above. A lot of money, baby.
Yeah. No, it was interesting trying to pull out of him some of the most memorable moments. And it was funny when you asked the question, I thought, oh, my God, he could probably write 12 books, you know, about I can think of so many memorable moments, just myself going in the limited time that I've spent at Jazz Fest. He's there every day, all day, you know, for over 50 years. It would be like an encyclopedia of special moments at Jazz Fest.
You know, and you'd have to kind of divide it and sort of peel back the layers of how Quint would view it, because I think Quint obviously would have some great, you know, backstage moments and memories with, you know, musicians and acts there. But I wanted to get to know what he does and, you know, how he experiences Jazz Fest when it's actually happening. And he says, you know, I often go around on the golf cart and I go to stage and I look at the acts and I think to myself, should they have been at a different time slot? Were they on the right stage? You know, how are they interacting with the crowd? And it's fascinating to me because as fun and as joyous and, you know, it's really a great party at Jazz Fest, you know, it's also Quint's job. And he has to kind of look at it in a very critical sense to see, like, can I improve this and can we improve this product? You know, how can we get better? And that's the business aspect of it. And, you know, I approached it, and I think maybe this is showing my ignorance, but I thought, you know, wow, Quint Davis is a huge music fan, so he's got to just be jamming out and loving the music when it's happening. But, you know, it's also his job. It's also something that is a pretty much a legendary product now here in New Orleans, that you have to kind of be the shepherd and you have to maintain that. And so while this is going on, he's actually evaluating and maybe kind of critiquing and how the show is going. And I think that's also a fascinating aspect of looking at what we see as Jazz Fest.
I love what he said. One thing I look at is, can they actually sing?
But it's true.
I loved it.
It's so true.
You know, it's like, can they actually sing? You know, and how's the crowd reacted to them?
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, and going back to the Rolling Stones, Newell, I think if you remember, you know, there's a portion in the podcast that when he says, you know, look, you know, this is a venue that the Stones don't play. It's a daytime event. It's not in a mega stadium. It's not just one show, and it's during the day. And so you don't have all the production tools. You don't have the pyrotechnics. You know, again, I'll be the first to admit I've never been to a Stone show. I just never could afford it, money nor the time. But you look at a venue like Jazz Fest, and it's really, and going back to your point of, like, can they sing? This is where you really have to show your chops as a performer. You can't lip sync here. There's no lights. It's on a stage. You're under a tent. You know, you could be dealing with the weather elements, and now you got to – you really have to captivate the crowd, which, you know, again, if you're a producer of a music festival, you got to get a talent or a band that's really going to really rock the crowd. And, you know, this is where you kind of have to show and put on display your talents.
And the makeup don't work so good at 85 degrees on a Saturday afternoon either.
You know, so. I got to go back and see if we ever had Kiss. Did Kiss ever play Jazz Fest? And did they go in makeup? That's got to be hard.
I don't know. That would be interesting. That would be interesting. Where can folks find the podcast, Tom?
They can search for the Tom Report. Just punch in T-H-A-N-H Report. Wherever they get their podcast, that's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and It's also on the free Odyssey app, and you can go onto the WWL Radio website. You'll see the picture of Quint Davis right on the website. Just click on that, and there's a link to the town report right there.
Great job again, folks. If you're curious about what his special moments, they are revealed in this podcast. You want to check it out for sure. Truly enjoyed it as always. Todd Trun, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Well, you enjoy that Rolling Stones show. You tell us, yeah, you better post some pictures on that, Newell.
I will be there. Todd Trun, WWL multimedia journalist. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.